Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday, where we hear about the goodness of God as the Good Shepherd, the goodness of Christ as the Good Shepherd who tends to his sheep. There are times where you get to these texts and they're so well known. In fact, the psalm that was for today that we didn't say together was Psalm 23, which honestly, who doesn't know that one, at least this day and age, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You probably were saying that to yourself, but in the King James, right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, right? The holy thou, the holy divine name of thine and thou and thee, right? It's beautiful. It's a beautiful psalm. It's a psalm of David, who is a shepherd himself, so he knew what it meant to be a shepherd. That to be a shepherd, it doesn't always mean getting to hang out with the sheep and just walk through the fields and everything's just nice and sunny and pleasant. You enjoy the breeze. Because sheep, you know, you've probably heard this comparison before. Sheep are not very bright. I've never been a shepherd. I've been around some sheep, but and the way that I've seen the shepherds work with them, though, they work in such a way that is just seamless, because if you lose one, you got to go get them, right? If one gets separated, you got to go get them. And David, we were actually reading, me and my children were reading last night about how David fought Goliath. And when they all said to him, "You're just a boy. He's a man of war. He's a giant. What do you think you can do to him?" And he said, "I'm a shepherd. I will," he said, "whenever a bear or a lion would grab a lamb, I would have to go after it and I would strike it down. So I can handle bears and lions. I can handle this guy." Wow. There are things that shepherds have to do that are a bit rough and dirty and difficult. And so when you look at this and what Jesus says, that he is the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He tells us exactly what he does. He tells us this because he says, "I know," he says, "I know my own and my own know me." And he says, "My sheep will hear my voice." He says all these things because, well, as we'll see in a couple weeks from now, when Christ ascended to the right hand of God, of God the Father, we no longer can see him, right? We don't see him, but we hear him, right? He speaks to us still through his word. And in hearing him, we know who he is and we know what he does. We know what he has done and we know what he will do. And we need to understand that aspect of hearing, the Good Shepherd. Because, as the 23rd Psalm says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? We now walk in the valley, in the veil, as it were. We walk in the valley of the shadow of death in this present dark world. It's beautiful outside. The sun is shining, but the world is still dark by sin and death. And so we need to hear really well, because in the valley of the shadow of death, there are a lot of other voices. There's a lot of other noise going on, as it were. And in this day and age, I don't know if it can get more true than that, because there's a lot of noise. When you're driving down the road, do you typically listen to something, right? Listen to talk radio or the news, or you listen to music, although music today is just horrible, but, you know, listen to the music you like to listen to, because you can do that on your phone now, right? That's another thing. You have your phones. You can just listen to whatever you want. You can watch TV. You have a lot of voices telling you all kinds of stuff. And now, nowadays, there's a lot of stuff, and someone may go back and hear this sermon. I'll date it just a little bit. You got all this stuff with like, what's going on with Ukraine and Russia and China, with Gaza, and what's going on in Israel, and all this stuff. And you go, Lord have mercy. When will it end? There's a bunch of madness. You hear like news stories because it's sensationalizing LGBTQ. I mean, we're, you know, not too far away from June, Lord have mercy, which is now known as Pride Month. And as Christians, we know pride comes before destruction. But still, you look and you hear all these voices and you wonder to yourself, what's true, right? What should I listen to? What's going to show me the light instead of just show me more of the present darkness? And that's, I think, where God knows exactly what he's doing in giving us his word. He gives us his word that he speaks to us through pastors, through other Christians, through ourselves, to say, I need to hear the voice of my shepherd. I need to know what he thinks of me. I need to know what he thinks of this world. Right? I need to know what he has done so I can be reminded, because there's a lot of voices out there that tell me all kinds of crazy things that really make me swing back and forth between pride and just despair. Right? And that's exactly what Satan wants. He wants us to be swinging back and forth between pride and despair. And the need for Psalm 23 is very real even today, because in this valley of the shadow of death, more often than not, we have more fear for the wolves than we do for God. We have more fear about what will happen to us just as a matter of circumstance or occurrence, right? Let alone what people will do to us when they find out that we're Christians. And not only that, but this day and age, oh, that kind of Christian, right? Nowadays, we have to distinguish ourselves. You go, well, I'm a Christian. It's kind of one of those old things of being a Lutheran. But, you know, it's like, because there's different Lutherans. And you go, I'm not that kind of Lutheran, you know? But it's like, we are that kind of Christian that actually says, just generally, not getting into all of the nitty-gritty, yes, I believe that this is the word of God, that he spoke it, and that it does not have anything wrong with it. It is the inspired word of God, and there is no falsehoods, there's no contradictions. It all tells the truth, right? It is the word of God. It cannot be wrong. And when you start getting into the nitty-gritty about things like sexuality, homosexuality, gender roles, and all these things like that, they'll say, oh, you're that kind of Christian. And when they do that, it's a scary thing. Because nowadays, there are people that are in the workforce that if they stand up for what they truly believe, whether it's a teacher or whether it's a nurse or a doctor or whatever, with everything going on with the LGBTQ agenda type stuff, whatever, whatever it is, and you stand up and you say, I just can't do that, I'm a Christian, you risk losing your livelihood. That is scary. That is terrifying. And yet, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. These are words that are spoken to you so that you would know just what it is God does for you in the midst of that fear. So that you would know that he is the one to be feared above all, right? That's the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things, right? We need this psalm and we need John 10, just like the rest of God's word, but specifically for today, this comfort that we can grasp from God, that he gives to us freely. Because of all this noise out in the world, we need to hear God's voice more and more and more. So when we hear God's voice, also, we need to trust God's voice. We need to trust God's word that he proclaims to us. Trust the voice of your good shepherd. He's not going to lead you off a cliff, right? He's not going to lead you into the jaws of the wolves that seek to devour you. He will take care of you. He lays down his life for you, that you would trust him. And when the voice of the Lord, when the voice of the good shepherd is all around you, you're better able to understand his voice from the wolves, right? And even from the hirelings that seek nothing but their own pleasure and their benefit, that when they see the wolves coming, they just run because they don't care about the sheep, right? But when you know the voice of the good shepherd, you can spot these things and you can stand firm. Because if the wolves come and they seek to scatter the flock of Christ, why is it that the flock runs? Why do they scatter if it's not because they fear the wolves more than they fear and trust and love their good shepherd who takes care of them? Right? That if our good shepherd says, go this way, go that way, stand firm, don't move, we should trust him. Right? And likewise, it, being a pastor and reading these things about the hirelings and the hired hands makes me kind of sweat a little bit, because I'm a hireling, right? I'm a hired hand. I'm a pastor. And pastor comes from the Latin for, I believe it's the Latin, for what a shepherd is, right? Pastoral scenes with pastors, with shepherds, right? I'm not the shepherd. I'm one of the under shepherds who pay attention to what the good shepherd says, because I'm walking through this valley of the shadow of death right next to you, right? And I keep my eyes on Christ to know in this darkness where we should go. And so I do my best as well to surround my voice, to surround myself with the voice of Christ, so that I can know when the wolves are coming and when I need to stand firm, right? Just like any pastor ought to. I'm not special. Christ is special. You don't follow me, you follow Christ. He is your good shepherd. He leads you where he wants you to go. And sometimes, well, most of the time, actually all the time, he's leading us through this dark world, through this valley of the shadow of death. So we need to hear him. And when I say that, people might say, well, how, Pastor? How can I hear God's word, or how can I hear his voice more and more? And so I'll give you a few things to think about. Like I said, we have in this world a lot of noise, a lot of things grabbing the attention, you know? And so we find it hard to say, I need to sit down and read my Bible, or I need to sit down and read prayer book or a devotion or something, right? Or, I don't have enough time to sit down. It's really great. I don't have enough time to sit down. I say that all the time. I don't have enough time. I got too much stuff to do. But then if you time it, if you actually like get out a timer and time yourself reading a chapter of a gospel, a chapter here, a chapter there, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, right? It seems like nothing, but over time it builds up, right? Over time, by the habit of hearing God's word, you'll get somewhere, right? And a little bit at a time goes a long way. So don't think that, oh, I don't have time to pray, or a 5 minute prayer or a 2 minute prayer is not really going to do much of anything. But God's word says the prayers of a just person avails much, right? So we are just, we are made just because of Christ. He hears our prayers. The little prayers matter too. So take the time to hear God's word, to pray. If you want to know how to hear God's word, there's tons of podcasts. I can recommend several to listen to it daily, to hear a bit of scripture every day. If you have a phone, everybody has a phone now with apps on it. There's all kinds of Bible apps. I recommend the YouVersion app, YouVersion. They're not paying me for this, by the way, but YouVersion, it's great because it has every translation you could possibly imagine. But if you pick the English Standard Version, it will read it to you. It's amazing, right? The ways that God has made for us to hear his word in church, by ourselves, with other people, it's just astounding. And so we don't really have any excuse not to surround ourselves with God's voice, with the voice of Christ. Because again, the voice of Christ, the voice of the Good Shepherd, shows us what is true and what is real. It shines a light on the darkness. It cuts through the noise and tells you, don't worry about what's going on out there. Don't be anxious about that. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. I will take care of you because I died for you and I rose from the dead for you so that you would have comfort in the midst of this sorrow, so that you would be joyful when everyone else is weeping, so that you would know what I have done for you, so that my rod and my staff would comfort you. It's amazing. The more you dive into the Word of God, the more you see things. How many times have you read Psalm 23? Or heard it? Or said it? Countless times, right? When David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you know what a rod is? I'm just using this as an example of what can come from deeply pouring yourself into God's word. I just kind of realized this the other day. A rod was traditionally known as kind of a club. It was about 2 feet long, right? And then a staff, how big is a staff? Right, it's pretty tall. You got to reach for it. You got to herd. You got to move things around, right? Get the sheep in here. When you put the 2 foot rod up against a longer staff, what do you get? You get a cross. It's these little things that the Holy Spirit shows to us sometimes. It sounds simple. How could David have known this? But the Holy Spirit knows this, right? There's little things like that. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Put those two things together. You have a cross. The cross comforts us. It defends us from sin, death, and the devil. It protects us. Knowing what Jesus has done on the cross, knowing what he has done in dying for our sins, allows us to be strengthened, to be fortified, to look out into the world and say, even though it's dark, I have the light of Christ. He is with me. And that's the other thing. He is with you in the valley. He is with you, walking next to you in the valley of the shadow of death. He is leading you. He is guiding you. He is comforting you to tell you which way to walk. Just as Peter says, and I'll leave you with this, because so many things you can say about the Good Shepherd. But the Good Shepherd lays down his life, and we see that in our epistle texts from 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter writes to us as sheep, right? For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. Those are big steps to fill. But we don't do it by ourselves. He leads us. He guides us. He strengthens us. We cannot do it without him. He is the one who does all for us. He is the one who brings us to life so that we can walk in the first place. So with these things, we see that he has no deceit when he speaks. So likewise, we should seek to do the same. When he was reviled, he did not do the same in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. And likewise, we should do the same. But continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. We are going to face persecution in this world and in this life, and even more and more and more. And so we need that comfort. We need that strength. We need Christ before us to guide us and show us what he has done so that we can do likewise. Because he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree of the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. So hear the voice of Christ. If you need some ideas on how to make that happen, I would be glad to help you. I know all kinds of ways. I have all kinds of resources. I'll probably put some things on the website so you can go on there and see what you can hear and what you can do. But hear the voice of Christ. Have his voice speak loudly in your life and regularly, consistently, right? Follow the example that he sets, because he has died for you and he gives his life for you so that you would have new life in him. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.